So let's continue the word that you began some weeks ago, preserved by the truth. So don't forget, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what? You don't have to remember anything. Anything. So let's go back to what to Psalm 40, verse 11. I think it was during the first session that we read this scripture. But I want to go back there and then go a certain direction. In Psalm 40, verse 11 says, "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your what? Your truth continually preserve me. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me." And that word preserve, again, I gave you from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is to keep safe from injury, harm, or destruction. It's also to protect. To preserve is to protect, to keep alive, intact, or free from decay. When you talk about free from decay, you need to think about corruption. Now, mostly in Kenya, when you talk about corruption, I know mostly in a default mode of what corruption is. But corruption, another word is decay. The word of God is incorruptible. It's pure. The words of God are pure. But that is to keep alive, intact, or free from decay. And another word is maintain. Maintain. I want my life preserved, maintained, protected, kept safe from injury, even at my old age. I don't know about you. You don't know? Because if you keep quiet, it means you don't know. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. To keep or save from decomposition. And to keep up and reserve for personal or special use. God wants to preserve you. He wants to use you to be for personal or special use, to keep and reserve for personal and special use. And then Psalm 97, verse 10, the Amplified Classic Version. Now this one I'm adding to something new. The Amplified Classic Version, Psalm 97, verse 10 says, "All you who love the Lord, hate evil." All you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints, the children of God. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That's good. He preserves the lives of his saints. The children of God, he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. That's what God wants you to experience. Hate evil. Be preserved as a saint of God and be delivered from the hand of the wicked. You remember that prayer of Jabez? Yeah, that's what he prayed. To be kept, to be preserved, that he may not cause harm. And therefore today, again, going forward in a certain direction, but it's a long title, still under that same topic, is remaining focused in the midst of many distractions. Remaining focused in the midst of many distractions. Many distractions. Have you noticed that there are many distractions? My goodness. Than ever before. Many voices, many things wanting to catch your attention. Many, many things. And if you are not careful, then we'll be so much confused. But that should not be to us who believe in Christ. We should be so focused doing the will of God. So remaining focused in the midst of many distractions. If there is anything that we can learn from the Master, of course there are so many things. He's our perfect example, our Master Jesus. But we can learn from him is how focused he was in fulfilling his purpose on earth. Nothing could distract him. Nothing could distract him. And I want us to see some things from his life. He was so focused in fulfilling his purpose on earth, and nothing could distract him. Now I want to pose a question, or for you to think in this manner. If Jesus our Lord could have been distracted from his purpose, that means it could have been possible for you and I not to be born again and end up into eternal separation from God. So when God's people are not focused to do the will of God, there is so much that is in danger of being taken away by the enemy, being stolen from them. Have you noticed that thieves, even in the vehicles, public transport mostly, they distract fast before they steal. Now, it's not, robbers don't. Robbers aim. They take it by force. The devil in the Bible, in so many scriptures, including John 10:10, he's a thief. What does he do? He distracts. Causes commotion, and someone checks out the handbag and say, oh, can you pick up? I've dropped something over there. By the time one is speaking, the phone is gone. You've noticed that? Has it ever happened? I don't lose phones. I refused. I don't lose phones. I refuse. I've never lost any phone. I've never lost any phone. I've never lost. Oh, No, I'm not talking about you. She was distracted many years ago in a certain matatu, and they took away the phone. I just had to restrain myself from asking, why were you distracted? Has anyone ever done something and then you feel like you want to punish them for doing it? That's not kind. Okay, you all don't look like you've ever done that. So he was focused, and I want you to hear some of his statements that he made. And they should be yours and mine. Focus. Focus. Listen to this in John 8:14. We're going to learn some lessons from him. The Pharisees are talking to him, and he answered and said to them, they are telling him, oh no, you are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. He answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Did you see that? Look at this. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. Oh, that's profound right there. I know where I came from and where I'm going. Write this, focus. I know where I came from and where I'm going. When people talk about salvation and all that, and there's so many distractions, listen to this. I know where I came from. I knew inside of me somehow I was going to be buried in that 1996 if I hadn't given my life to Christ. So I don't take mine for granted. I know where I came from. I've seen so many people who are my age mates, who are my buddies, that died because of a special alcohol addiction that was rampant in my area. And we thought we were having fun. So listen to this. I know where I came from, he said, and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. And another one in John 8:23, he said to them, listen to this, you are from beneath. Goodness, that's big. You are from beneath. Other version says let me read some of this. Let me read this and then I'll check out some other versions I read to you. He says, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So he knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. He was focused. I think you can check out different versions because of time. But let me describe or define this word from the dictionary, distraction. Distraction. D-I, not D-E-S. It's D-I. D-I-S. D-I-S-T-R-A-C-T. Oh, two. You remember that? Two, two. She, he, Sue. This generation learns something different as we learn different. We say D, I, not do, do, do. We don't do, do anything here. Now look at this. Distraction, you know the way the dictionary sometimes defines words. It's really good. Something that distracts, an example, something that distracts is an object that directs one's attention away from something else. Something that distracts is an object that directs one's attention away from something else. So the enemy wants to distract you and I so that may what? We may direct our attention from something else and not what God has called us to do. From something else and not what God has called us to do. You can hear like he turned off our mobile phone to limit distractions. I hope you've turned yours off. Something that distracts is an object that directs one's attention away from something else. And another one is this, is I think that's all I'm going to say. But let me give an example which I'd already said. One created a distraction while the other grabbed the money. That's a thief. One did what? He created a distraction while the other grabbed the money. So pay attention to this thing. When the enemy brings a distraction, his aim is to steal something from us. That's his aim. Remember, his work is what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. So when he brings a distraction, he has a target. What is the target? To steal something from us. So one distracts this side, creates a distraction, and the other one grabs the money. The devil is known as a thief. Thieves distract. Another word for thieves is they're sneaky. You know the word sneaky? You want to know a sneak thief? I have a definition for a sneak thief. A thief who steals whatever is really available without using violence. But he's still stealing. Okay, did you hear that? Is a sneaky thief is a It's a sneak thief, a thief who steals whatever is readily available without using violence or forcefully breaking into buildings. That's a thief, a sneak thief. So with all the distractions around us right now as a nation, if we are not careful, listen this, we will lose focus and the devil will have a field day. That's big. That's what he's targeting. We lose focus. And listen to this. Who are his enemies on this earth? The church. The church. Non-believers, the truth is an unbeliever is in the hands of the devil. I've heard many times you evangelize to people and tell people about the Lord and they say, but I'm also a child of God. Now, if you're not born again, you're not a child of God. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are children of God. As many as received him, that is in John 1:12, as many as received him, gave he the right to inheritance. As many as received him, gave he the right to become children of God. So only those who have accepted Jesus Christ are children of God. So I'm going to say it again. With all distractions around us now as a nation, if we are not careful, we lose focus, and the devil will have a field day. While all what we are looking at is what is happening in the natural, and blaming each other. Sometimes the young blaming the older blaming the young ones. You know, you can't be on YouTube watching all mandamanos from morning to evening and pray. You know you can't do that. You'll try shandai shandai for some few minutes and that's all. Can you hear me? Is it clear? So that's very important, church. So what I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying this today, I want your focus back. I want you to remove your eyes from the distractions and focus on my will. Our conversation many times, if we are not careful, is all about what is happening now. And many times you don't hear of what the Lord says. It's natural talk. I was meeting with a certain Muslim man, two of them, senior people, this past week. And I told them, they're Muslim. When he comes to my office, say, Pastor! I say, yes, sir. Tell me, so what do you see about this? I'll start saying, this is what I believe the Lord is doing. And that will start happening. I started sharing with him the word of God. And he just keeps quiet and listens to me. Then I remember he says, that's very intelligent. That's very intelligent. Oh, my goodness. I know it's not intelligent. It's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. So don't forget that. What is he looking for? Your focus. Young people, do you know what he's looking for? Your focus. Listen, church, I believe in good governance. I believe it's in good governance. That's why we'll not have any chaos in heaven. I believe in good governance. But let me tell you something. No earthly government is going to fix your life. If Jesus doesn't fix your life, no earthly government is going to fix your life. Do I believe in good governance? Yes. Yes. Will I stay at the command of God? Yes, to pray for this nation. Listen, as long as you are here as the church, the body of Christ will put the devil where he belongs. He will not take our nation from us. He will not destroy our nation from us. We will not continue having bloodshed all of our nation. We will stand against him in the name of Jesus. That's not a public statement, just a public. It's in my time of prayer. Engaging until you realize you're being effective in the spirit. He wants to distract us, the devil. Jesus kept his focus in fulfilling or on fulfilling his assignment on earth. In John 6:14 to 15, listen to this. He's fed the people, they have eaten bread and fish, they're excited. They want to do something to him. Look at this. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, this is truly, they said, this is truly the prophet who's come to come to the into the world. But listen to this. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. I don't know how many times I've heard politicians say this. My people have spoken. They have asked me to become their MP. I say, what? Have you ever heard that? Yes. Have you ever heard that? That my people have spoken. They want me to be their MP. And then they are not elected. their stomachs, you know, speaking, not people. But listen, Jesus, they wanted to come and make him king by force. He perceived that. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone, and you know he wasn't by himself. He was in the presence of the Father. Listen, staying in the presence of God keeps your focus in the will of God for your life. You stay right that way, focused. Was he a king? Answer me. Was he a king? Was he a king? Yes, he was. He was. He told Pilate in John 18:36, he told him, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world." He was a king, yes, but he says this, "My kingdom is not of this world." So they didn't, no one could have made him a king. He didn't come for that. He's a king of all ages. His kingdom, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." So he was a king. So lesson from that. What we learn from just those scriptures that we've read. We do not do something because people want us to, but because we know it's God's will for us. We don't do something because people want us to, but because we know it's God's will for us. What does that mean, church? You must seek him. You must pursue him. You must ask him. Not my people have spoken. My people have spoken. They are making me a manager. They change all the time, you know that. Men change all the time. So we do not do something because people want us to, but because we know it's God's will for us. In Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, says this, "For do I now persuade men, O God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ." My people have spoken. Have you seen that? "For do I now persuade men, O God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ." So we always pursue God's will. Amen? Amen. Amen. In Philippians 3, it's a mouthful, 17 to 20 from the Amplified Version. It says, "Brothers and sisters, together follow my example." This is Apostle Paul again. "And observe those who live by the pattern we gave you. For there are many of whom I have often told you, and I'll tell you even with the tears, who live as enemies of the cross of Christ, rejecting and opposing his way of salvation, whose fate is destruction, whose God is their belly, their worldly appetite, their sensuality, their vanity, and whose glory is in their shame." Let's read the next statement, please. "Who focus their mind on earthly and temporal things." Right there. But let's say it, who we are. Let's say it. But we are different, because our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we eagerly await the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! You're looking at a man from heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we eagerly await the coming of the Lord Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we have to confess, meditate on that over and over again until it is like concrete in our hearts. Our citizenship is in heaven. No wonder David will say this, "Even if the earth is moved, I will not be moved. I will not be moved." Why? My citizenship is in heaven. So that's very important right there, is we are different. We don't do something because people want us to, but because we know it's God's will for us. Remember, he said this. He said that my kingdom is not of this world. So if all throughout our focus is earthly, this is what will happen. Let me say the second thing. People, however much they tried, they could not derail our master from his subject. He put what he came for in front of you. Is that good? Okay. Is that comprehensible? They could not derail him from his subject. Remember distraction, what I said. Let me tell you again. Distraction is an object that directs one's attention away from something else. In other words, you're supposed to be looking this way, but you are distracted and you start looking another direction. But Jesus could not be derailed. He was focused. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, that means subject in a conversation. Have you ever tried to tell someone something and they derail you? They start talking about something else? Huh? Anyone? Or you've done that too? Especially children, when you're about to correct them, they start talking about another person. In Acts chapter 1, 6 to 8, remember he had been raised from the dead. He's about to ascend to heaven. Therefore, when they had come together in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, you see, they're earthly in their thinking. Are you seeing that? They're earthly in their thinking. And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. His subject in his talk was, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Stop thinking about earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is about to enter in you. His kingdom is heavenly. And that changed them completely. We know that in Acts chapter 2, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and their focus was different. In fact, they turned the world upside down. You remember that? Let me read to you that scripture. I think I'll find it. Just a moment. You can be singing in your heart. I sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. In Acts 17:6, look at this. They'll think about earthly kingdom, but they needed to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit changes everything. And I've been praying in this manner. I said this past Sunday, Father, pour out your Spirit upon this nation than anything we've ever known before. Pour out your Spirit upon our young people. Pour out your Spirit upon the elderly. Pour out your Spirit. They're seeking for something. And it's not in the earthly realm. Pour out your Spirit. Can we ask him? Would you lift up your hands to the Lord? Young people, lift up your hands. We ask the Lord. He said in that book of Joel, the beginning of which was in Joel, in Acts chapter 2. Lift up your hands, every person, please. Father, we ask you. We ask you for the sake of our nation. You've said in the last days, you'll pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. We saw it began in the book of Acts. And we are asking you, Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit upon our nation, upon the young people, upon the children, upon the elderly. Pour out your Spirit. This is our solution, Father, for our nation. Father, thank you for the stirring up in spirits and hearts of your people. And we are asking you, this stirring up may be from heaven, and that the enemy has nothing to do with it. We bind the devil. We bind his assignments over this nation. And we decree the will of God in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for salvations. Thank you for many coming into the kingdom of God, even during this season. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to this. In Acts 17:6, they are talking about believers in Christ. Let's start from verse 5. But when the Jews were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace. You always find those evil men around. They can destroy properties. They are always there. The marketplace. If you went to your market and say, can I find any scoundrel, evil man? You'll find them. They're always there. But the Jews who are not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in uproar and attacked the house of Jason because he was a believer and sought to bring them out to the people. Look at verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Come on, huh? Those are believers. They had, wherever they went, they were turning the world upside down with the gospel. Why? They had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go read in your own time. It's so wonderful. Secondly, we must focus on his commandments, our master, to us, so that we may not lose flavor. Not bongo flavor. It's another flavor. That we may not lose flavor, because believers in Christ are the salt of the earth. Say, I'm the salt of the earth. Listen to Matthew 5:13. So we must focus on his commandments to us so that we may not lose flavor, because believers in Christ are the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:13, the Message translation says this: let me tell you why you are here. Let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt. Seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people test godliness? Answer me. If you lose your saltiness, how will people test godliness? If you act like the world, how will people of the earth test godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. I don't want to end there. So good to see you. I don't want to end in the garbage. Amen? I thought you were going to protest. You don't want to end in the garbage. If you lose your saltiness, what will happen? You lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. I don't want that. We must look at things through the Spirit or by the Spirit, no matter what we face. No matter what we face, even in this nation, even in this life, we must look at things by the Spirit and through the Spirit. Amen. That's our victory, church. But if you just think in the natural, there's nothing much you can do. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Let's deal with priorities here. This one is dealing with priorities. So the first one I said, we do not do something because people want us to, but because, you know, it's God's will for us. And then, like our master, they could not derail him from his subject or his purpose. And then second, we must focus on his commandments to us so that we may not lose flavor, because believers in Christ are the salt of the earth. And then, okay, before we go to Acts chapter 6, let me read 1 John 5:4. We read it last week, actually. For whatever is born of God overcomes. Come on now. For whatever is born of God overcomes. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So to deal with the spirit of the world, we must keep our faith strong. How does that faith come? By hearing, and hearing, by the word of God, not by hearing and hearing one protest after another. It's amazing. In Kenya, we are blessed. Let me remember my English teacher. No sooner had those 11 new cabinet secretaries or name than the internet was on fire. Remember that English teacher? No sooner had. You never say no sooner than. You never say that. My teacher will not accept that. No sooner had they named, they be named, did I say it right? Than the internet was on fire. And probably some of you are setting it on fire. You're setting it on fire. You're in the midst of the fire. Not the fire that the three Hebrew men were brought in, or the fire of internet. What are we supposed to be doing, church? Guard our minds, guard our hearts. My uncle wasn't named, so what? And those are issues you talk outside the church, yeah? But when I'm saying them here, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our what? Our faith. Not our debates. Not our many debates. Even our faith. That's why we have to keep our faith stronger and stronger. We keep hearing the word of God over and over again. Do you want to know when your appetite for the world news is high? When you wake up in the morning, that's where you go for, to fast. Your phone, your text, WhatsApp, status, all the others before the Bible. You want to know how much you have appetite for the world? That's the pattern. Listen, give him his best. Prioritize him. Wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Father. Thank you for giving me this day. Your word says, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord, you've given me breath this morning. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise you, Father. You begin right there. Then finish and do all your praying and the word. And all your praying, I'm not saying all your praying is, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the condition of this nation right now. And I'm about to check out the internet, what is happening. Father, have mercy. that's not prayer. That's not prayer. I'm talking about get time to get in the Spirit. Hear the impressions of the Holy Spirit concerning our nation. Hear the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Hear words of heaven and release them on earth. Believe God for utterance, for insight. Turn around that which was meant for by the enemy to destroy our nation. And turn it around for our good, that there may be unity and that we may move forward. As people of faith and people of one nation. It's the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. In Acts chapter 6, talking about now priorities. Keep your priorities in place. First things first. Say first things first. We have some water over here, please. First things first. Let's keep our priorities in place. First things first. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. In those days where the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Thank you. Because their widows were neglected in their daily distribution. So however much you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, you need some food. So there was daily distribution. But look at this. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Remember, first things what? First. And then he says this, they say in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But, priorities, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. But these are administrative work. They need to be dealt with, and they need some people to take care of that. Stephen or some among them was selected. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let's go forth. Verse 5, please. Did I say 1 to 4? 1 to 4, that's fine. Let me read some things here from my Spirit-filled Bible concerning the same scripture. Are you seeing priority there? But we will give ourselves what? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that was a genuine distraction needed to be dealt with. But listen this, that could not move away the apostles from their priorities. First things first. Now let me read something here from my Spirit-filled Bible. Listen this. It says this, faithfulness in prayer and spiritual warfare. Faithfulness in prayer and spiritual warfare. Faith's warfare. The early church, just pay attention. The early church learned quickly that their prayer had to be continuous because spiritual warfare is continuous. Did you hear that? Spiritual warfare is continuous. It became their first priority because Satan sought their defeat as his first priority. I think right now, the first priority of Satan is to distract the church, to render the church of Christ in this nation powerless, distracted. So his priority is this. Satan sought their defeat as his first priority. Thus, their earliest recorded administrative decision after Pentecost places the minister of prayer with the word as highest in importance. The minister of the word and prayer the minister of prayer with the word as highest in importance. Church, if that's not your priority, then Satan has you distracted and you have been defeated. And then he says this, as the church grew, circumstances required more of the apostles' time, but realizing they needed more prayer rather than increased activity. They needed what? More prayer rather than increased activity. The apostles chose seven men to serve as deacons to care for the church. And all deacons can say, okay, they kept quiet. Or they said a little, okay, all right. This freed them to focus on prayer, that's the apostles, and the ministry of the word. Of the two, prayer rightfully is listed first. Listen to this. Faithfulness to prayer recurs throughout scripture. Paul will later tell the church at Rome to be kindly affectionate to one another, continuing steadfastly in prayer. When we are distracted from that, the devil will have his field day in our nation. We're fighting more on the internet than praying. Believe us. Everyone has an opinion in Kenya. Everyone. I get amazed when I read, you know, news online. And then I check out the comments a little bit. I don't swallow them a lot. Because they are fierce. But the problem is they are not bold because you don't see their faces. Have you noticed that? I mean, let's see some faces over here of boldness. Face to face. So people just fight and fight and fight. Keep your priorities in place. First things what? In Matthew 6:34, let's read the Message translation. It's so good. 6:34, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Are you hearing that? Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up. Don't get worked up. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Oh, this is the message to so many of you. Or to all of us. Get your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Listen, the more we focus on what God is doing, the more we see. In His light, we see light. In His light, we see light. So don't get worked up. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you, deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So choose to stay in the word and prayer and listening to Him. He'll help you. Hallelujah. He will help you. Any major thing that I've ever had God speak to me, a major decision, came as a result of not praying for that thing, but I was spending some time with Him, and then He tells me something I'm supposed to do. I remember in February 2000, I was praying. I can see so many of them, but I remember this one. In February 2000, the year 2000, I was praying. I'm praying fervently, just in the word and prayer. And the Lord spoke to me. I was even in an overnight prayer meeting with a certain group of people. Then He told me this. Start praying for your wife. Oh, okay. Because in 1999, I'd read a book by Rick Joyner about the final quest. And I said, Lord, can I stay single so that you may send me to places that people don't want to go? That was a foolish prayer, but I was honest. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Where could I have been without my wife, Tina? Really, and I was fervent. So I thought I'd settle that out with the Lord. And then He tells me in prayer, He said, start praying for your wife. That was February 2000. I wasn't even looking for a wife. He told me. I came into this ministry in the Bible school. No, He spoke to me actually. I was fellowshipping with a certain brother and He told me, I want you to go to that Bible school. And I came into this ministry in the Bible school. And then as I was in the Bible school, I was busy. I was excited. And I thought I was going to graduate and be a traveling minister. Traveling is good, don't you think so? Then every Sunday, seeing the... No. You do what God tells you to do. But I thought I was going to be a traveling minister immediately after the Bible school. I was 27. I think I was turning 28. And then, as I was praying, He told me this. I want you to submit your ministry under Pastor's Word and Colors. Okay. I've called into this ministry. Okay. I've been here. I was in my 20s. I was young, now I'm old. I was so older. I've never seen a righteous forsaken or he's still begging bread. I was in my 20s, now I'm in my 50s. I could have been everywhere. But you want to be where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. We've gotten into a vehicle. I've remembered this several times. Gotten into a vehicle. I remember one particular morning going to Marsabit, I think towards the end of last year. And I'm seated, we're passing through Chaka in Nyeri, you know. I think that area we call Ishaka. In Shaka, Nyeri. So we are passing through Chaka and then I'm just quiet inside of me. I tell guys when we travel together, I tell them this. If you're traveling with me for the first time and you like talking, I'll tell you this. If I am quiet, I'm not mad at you. Okay? I might be praying or meditating or reading or sleeping. So just don't feel like you are, you know, I'm mad at you. So I tell people, mostly when you travel with people for the first time, because there are people who can talk you down throat, the journey. Have you ever traveled with such a person? Until you're answering in your sleep, you're dozing, and you're not hearing anything. Have you ever traveled with such a person? The people who talk all the time. So anyway, my gentlemen know this, so we laugh, we keep quiet and on and on, of course music playing and all that. So anyway, we are passing through Chaka, and then I thought of this. I looked at the place, just wonderful. You know how Mount Kenya area is wonderful. And I thought, Lord, to so many people could have been enjoying now they're in their flight, going like to Switzerland or somewhere in New York or somewhere. But Lord, I'm so fulfilled in my heart. I know inside of me, I'm heading to the place that you want me to go. What was awaiting us? 40 degrees Celsius, sun. But the fulfillment is bigger. Listen to this. When you find what God has called you to do, that peace and fulfillment and contentment in your heart will guide you. People will not even understand why you're doing what you're doing. But because you're obeying God, such contentment, such fulfillment, such peace in your life will guide your mind and heart. So you're going to 40 degrees Celsius and 42 and dust. Oh, the dust. Especially where we go to call, the dust. If we go with a vehicle that that are any kind of openings, you will sneeze all through. Thank God for directing and leading his people. Pursue his will. That's my point. Now listen to this then. God will speak to you even in the things that you did not know you needed to know. Or you did not know that you needed to have. When our focus is in him, or our focus is him, he makes everything beautiful in his time. Choose to stay in the word and prayer, listening to the Lord, and God will speak to you even in the things that you did not know you needed or you need. Because when our focus is him, he makes everything beautiful in its time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's go to Luke 10 as we wind up. We start winding up. Luke 10, I want to read from the Passion Translation, verse 38. Anyone who has ever experienced the goodness of God and you thought like, God, I didn't even pray for this, but you chose to be just good to me. Anyone? Yes. Huh? Yes. God, I didn't even ask for this, but you chose for it to come to my life. Thank you. While others are, oh God, if you can give me this, Lord, give me like my brothers. And your brother didn't even pray, he just enjoyed the presence of God and got it from the Lord. Oh, I want that. Amen. I want that. I want the goodness of God. Now listen to this in Luke 10, the Passion Translation, but we are talking about still, you remember what we are talking about? Keep your priorities in place. First things first. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Let's read the story of this family. He says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, They came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down, Mary sat down what? Attentively before the master. Attentively before the master. Let's go read the next statement. Doing what? Absorbing every revelation he shared. Have you been listening to the Lord all this time? Huh? That's what I do when I come to church. I want to pay attention. Now listen to this. Absorbing every revelation he shared. But Martha became exasperated with finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." Oh, he's commanding God. Huh? Listen, was what Martha was doing necessary? Come on. Yes. Was Martha what she was doing necessary?
Yes.
It was necessary. What about in Acts chapter 6 about the Hellenists? Was them to get a distribution, was it necessary?
Yes,
it was necessary. Was it a priority at that time? No. Not a priority of the apostles, nor the priority of the master right here. Priority. First things first. So is this your sister? Huh? I don't know this one. I know Cynthia, I know you, I know Candy, but not that one. You're welcome. Yeah. And then we all looking behind, so who's that? Who is he talking to? So listen to this then. And then he says in verse 41, "The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha." You know, remember she had been exasperated with finishing the numerous household chores. You remember, you know how ladies behave when the guests are about to come. Huh? When they don't plan themselves well, you remember how they behave? Because we're in, we always plan yourself well, so you don't have to get exasperated. If you plan yourself well, you don't have to be running around like a headless chicken. With finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for a guest, so she interrupted Jesus. Now look at this verse 41. "The Lord answered her." Can you see the master, the way he responded? Martha. I think Martha was like exasperated with finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for a guest. So she interrupted Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you think it's unfair?" You know, all that. Can you see the master say, "Martha, Martha, Martha"? You know, not talking back like the way Martha was talking. "Martha, Martha, hear your name," the way Master is calling you right now. "Martha, Flora." You know, hear your name right now. You know, probably you've been rushing inside of you. Waiting for the next list of cabinet secretaries. "Martha." Or what about if we hear the Lord say this, "Kenya, Kenya, my church, my people"? Don't get into this. Hey, take time with me. Listen to this. "The Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha." Can you tell he didn't say you don't plan well? You don't know about projects. It's amazing about the graciousness of the Lord. He said, "Martha, my beloved Martha." Can you see Mary the way he's looking towards Martha? Maybe Mary was about to answer. And he wasn't going to answer like the master. "Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset? Why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these what? By all these what? Many distractions." Why? Why now? Let me talk to you. Listen to the voice of the Master. Live today hearing his voice in your heart. You know your name. So you can put your name there. Martha, my beloved Martha. He's still calling her my beloved. My beloved Martha, why are you upset? Why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all these many distractions. Why is that so? Why is that so? Mary has discovered. Mary has discovered the one thing most important. Let's read it together. Mary has discovered. Let's read it together. Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. Listen to what goes on. Continue. Let's continue. She's undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Hallelujah. Amen. I am undistracted. And the Lord says this is a privilege. He's undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Hallelujah. That's the place to be, church. Undistracted. I sense the Spirit of God right there. That's the place to be, church. That's the place to be, believer, undistracted. What a privilege. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with supplications and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. What a joy to be so undistracted. Doesn't matter what is happening, I choose peace. Amen. I choose peace. Amen. Because I have the Prince of Peace inside of me. Church, that is a place of faith. That's like the Master sleeping in the boat when there was a storm. The so educated of this world will call that burying your head in the sand. No, it's being with the Master. It's choosing to be undistracted. Have you seen what is happening? I don't know. I've been with the Lord this morning, and I'm at peace. I remember the other week, twice actually, we are told, you know, we have a school over here. And then the place was not looking good the following day, and several schools, you know, don't take your children to school, da-da-da-da-da. And so my wife calls me, she's the principal. And it's not because I wanted her to be a principal. Appointed by God, I didn't make a principal. It said the people spoke. My people spoke to make her the principal of the school. No, we don't do that. We didn't do that. So when she calls me, she tells me, I said, let's call Deacon Norman. He has more information. He helps us, really. He is. He's connected. Now, don't go asking him for information. So I asked him, and he gives me facts. And I remember, I think the first one, we were in Marsabit. And then I said, we discussed, and I asked the Lord, are they supposed to stay at home? I think, no, we had come back. Are they supposed to stay at home? We had come back from Marsabit. And had inside of me peace. I say, honey, Madam Principal, sorry. Let the children come to school. They did. They left. Last week, the same. You inquire. You ask the Lord.
Don't say the pastor said. No, ask the Lord. Or my bishop said, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. You don't think like you're going to call me in the week and say, can I go to town? What do you sense the Lord telling you? I say, I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. The guy indwells you. His name is the Holy Spirit. So I won't answer you. I say, ask the Lord. I don't know. But if he tells me, I'll tell you. But you'll go because I told you that's a mistake. You see, that's a mistake believers make. Oh, my bishop told me. What? Did the Lord speak to you? He told me to go to Cambodia. What will happen when you go to Cambodia? Will your bishop guiding you? You better be listening to the Lord. Undistracted. Say, Father, I choose to be undistracted. I choose peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you receive anything out of this? Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet, please. Let me give you a focus you should have now. Oh, I'm back here, guys. Thank you. Let me read to you a scripture that should be your focus. Remember Pastor Kala was here some few weeks ago talking about the double? That should be our focus. We spend time with the Lord. He tells us what to do. Amen. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, 61:7. Instead of your shame, you shall have a double honor. And instead of confusion, distractions, do you know what they do? They cause confusion. Distractions cause confusion. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess what? Double everlasting joy shall be theirs. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your peace. Fast within us. If you've been experiencing confusion and so distracted, you're so distracted and stressed out, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you because that didn't come from him. And remember, he's still calling you what? My beloved? Huh? Hasn't changed. My beloved? You remember that statement? He's still calling you my beloved. But ask the Lord to, come on, can I have your team over here? Ask the Lord to cleanse you from that, to forgive you from that. Come on, go ahead and speak to the Lord now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we lift our hearts to you. It's your will for us, your people, to dwell in peace. To be anxious for nothing. But in everything you said, we make supplications to you, prayers with thanksgiving, making our requests made known to you. So, Father, I'm asking you to cleanse us, your people, from every form of distraction. Where we have been distracted by the system of this world, distracted from our priorities, which is actually staying, taking time in prayer and in the Word, and listening to you, Father, concerning the affairs of this life. Father, we are asking you for your mercy. You're still calling your church my beloved. It's amazing that God has done that even for thousands of years. Even when the children of Israel forsook him, And we'll go away and play harlotry, worshiping Baals and all those gods, which is actual Satanism. God's love and kindness for his people is steadfast. He does not change. So I want you to draw upon his mercy and grace. Probably you've made such mistakes in your life, but God is still calling you, my beloved. I want you to come back to me. I want you to receive my grace and my mercy in this time of your need, or in this time of need. Father, thank you. As a nation, we need your mercy. We need your grace. Father, you've said it so clear in your word concerning your people. You didn't even talk to the world. You spoke to your people. And you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, we need healing in this land today. Therefore, we humble ourselves and we ask you for your mercy and grace concerning your church. All distractions of the enemy that has had even your church focusing on the natural more than the spiritual aspect of what is happening around. Father, we ask you to forgive us. We humble ourselves before you and we ask you to forgive us. We draw upon the blood to cleanse us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, stir up things within us concerning your will. Stir up things, Father, in the church concerning calling out your name and taking time in prayer and in the word, listening to your voice, listening to your instructions, listening to the will of heaven, or for the will of heaven, and speaking it in this nation, even as it is in heaven. Father, we ask you for hearing ears. We are asking for seeing eyes. We refuse blindness. We refuse deafness. We refuse hardness of heart in the name of Jesus. We let go of that. And we accept tenderness to your will, to your purposes. We accept our responsibility as the church to be in the word and in prayer. We accept our responsibility, Father, for the sake of our nation and for the sake of your will in this nation. Oh, Father, we thank you. Go ahead and speak to him for some few minutes, please. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and pray in tongues. Go ahead, Master. Glory Standamande Sidibasayada. Yenge Sera Sinamandara Sidibaklo Rash Sidibande. Keda Mande Sekesaya Rada Baklore Shandamandare Sekesabayende. Masi, 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 Masi. Mengayo Sandama Reshtanda Mandayo Sebeke Dayanda. Masi. Gangareshe de bande, gangareshe de mande, gangareshe de bande, kasteke shararabakora. Ha ha ha. Mercy. We flash out distractions. We flash out distractions. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, thank you for your mercy and grace upon your people. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for deliverance from addiction.
Now, I don't know if I'll use the word as I hear. Internet addiction. I break that power in the name of Jesus. God wants you free to have your priorities in place and see what He's about to do in your life. I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.